I'm almost ashamed to tell you that
the more they make me fight, the worse it's going to be for them.
Greetings of peace. Recently, Joe Rogan had this guest on his show.
That was actually located in her handbag and caused serious concern.
Well, now imagine if they never found her, they never caught her, and she completed that.
I mean, it's really terrifying.
It wipes out most of the country.
And also just in the most horrific way. I mean, you know, like having to like look at your pet and be like, is my pet rabbit? It's just...
Jesus. And they did catch it too. Another project.
She was really talking about some scary, out of this world, frightening stuff. She's been doing her rounds. She was also featured on the Danny Show. Annie, the storyteller.
Afia Siddiqui. Afia Siddiqui. She was captured in Afghanistan. She was the first woman on the most wanted terrorist list for the FBI. This is during the height of the war on terror.
Now, telling stories is one thing, but being a complete liar to sell your books is another thing. My next guest has been representing Dr. Afia pro bono. That means for free. He's not getting paid. Claire Stanford Smith had this to say directly to Joe Rogan after seeing this storytelling liar on his program, The Joe Rogan Show. He said, "Dear Joe Rogan, I'm afraid you have been fed a pack of nonsense by this lady. She is wrong on every single one of her facts. I have been to Afghanistan 5 times and have the evidence. Should you like to discuss Joe Rogan?" So when I saw this, I was like, wow. You know, I like Joe Rogan, and I think he'll appreciate us bringing him the facts regarding this case and exposing what his guests not just got wrong, but fabricated. And we're not stopping there. We'll also hear what former U.S. Attorney General Ramsey Clark had to say about this case after dedicating a good portion of his life on this. These are people who knew the facts. Ramsey Clark. And former U.S. presidential candidate, and he's a 2-term U.S. Senator, Michael Gravel, and former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. These people, we'll hear what they had to say. So let's get the facts out and let's get this message to Joe Rogan.
I'm almost ashamed to tell you that when she was arrested in 2008, I went on ABC News here in the United States and I crowed that this is one of the most significant counterterrorism captures since the 9/11 attacks. In retrospect, I realized that I was wrong. But also in retrospect, I'm starting to see some of the crimes that were committed against Afia Siddiqui.
It's 50650. These are the numbers of a treasure soul.
Paradise is under the feet of a woman, a mother. And that's not all. She has been given rights and protection in every sphere of life. She has all the basic human rights. Sister or mother with no child to console.
This is the game, the game.
This is the game, the game.
Greetings of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. My next guest, Clive Stanford, is a dual UK-US national, the founder and director of the Justice League in 2023. He took on the case of Afia Siddiqui pro bono, who she was abducted with her children. And he recently served a 371-page petition in New York, setting out the truth of what happened to her. He's also a professor of law. He has received too many rewards to list here in recognition of his work, including one by Elizabeth, the Queen Elizabeth II, the OB Award for Services to Humanity in 2000, and the Gandhi Peace Award in 2005, and various honorary doctorates from a range of universities. He has been a member of the United States Supreme Court and Louisiana State Bar for over 40 years. So let's go ahead and play this clip. He recently called out Joe Rogan to have a conversation with him because it seems like Joe Rogan has had a guest on talking about his client, Afia Siddiqui. So let's go ahead and check out this clip and then bring out my next guest.
One of which involves an Al-Qaeda terrorist that was captured. She's actually now in Texas in a mental institution for the rest of her life. Her name's Afia Siddiqui. She's an MIT-trained biologist, related by marriage to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, okay? And she was leading the biological weapons program. This is according to the CIA officers.
She was trained at MIT?
She was trained at MIT, and then she went back to Pakistan. She was the first woman on the FBI's most wanted terrorist list.
How come they have her in a mental institute?
Because they caught her. And then this part is reported. They caught her and somehow, again, the air quote, somehow she got a hold of a Marine's rifle and was firing at the FBI agents interviewing her.
Kalai, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank God. Thank you for accepting the invitation. So I showed a clip here and I saw your message to Joe Rogan. We'll put it up. Dear Joe Rogan, I'm afraid you have been fed a pack of nonsense by this lady. She is wrong on every single one of her facts. I have been in Afghanistan 5 times and have the evidence. Should you like to discuss it? Then you mentioned at Afia Movement. So you are the attorney for Afia Siddiqui right now at this moment?
I am. I mean, I took a case on because her really wonderful sister, Dr. Fawzia Siddiqui, who is a Harvard-trained neurologist, had caught me in a weak moment when I'd just got some prisoners out of Guantanamo. So I thought I had some extra time and I took it on. And I've been working on it for the last 3.5 years. And I think I know more about probably Afia's case than anybody. Certainly more than Dear Annie and what she says on that to a Rogan show.
Who is this lady? Are you familiar with her?
Annie Jacobson has written a bunch of ridiculous books, by and large. I mean, one of them is about aliens visiting the world. But she takes all these things that are shocking and would make good dramatic, albeit totally false, television programs, and then posits them as scientific fact. And it was just fascinating to me that she didn't, when she wrote this book, she didn't bother to give me a buzz. I would have happily told her all about Afia. I would have told her how to pronounce Afia's name to begin with. I'd have told her that Afia had nothing to do with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and that indeed she wasn't being interrogated by the FBI when she grabbed a rifle and shot one of them. She was actually just shot by a soldier in a room in Ghazni where I've been, unlike Annie. So I would have corrected her on all the nonsense she said on Rogan, but she didn't bother to ask.
Let's continue on and kind of break this down. She goes on to mention some other things. So the first thing is, did she say that she was married to this Khalid Mohammed?
Well, she did say that at one point, but then she said she was just related to him, and it just wasn't true. Can I just tell you a bit of the brief beef background about it? So she was a very, very brilliant young woman who came to the U.S. and did a degree at MIT and then a PhD at Brandeis. Her PhD at Brandeis wasn't in neuroscience where she was meant to be making bombs. It was in education. She did a PhD about teaching young children how to learn. And then she went back to Pakistan after 9/11 because, as you probably are fully aware, the U.S. was not terribly hospitable to many Muslims at the time. And in the end, she got abducted. The CIA paid a $55,000 bounty to the Pakistan authorities to help them abduct Afia and her three children. Now, I've seen the facts. I'm not going to do what the CIA did with Annie. I'm not going to break the security clearance that I've sworn to uphold. I see all their secret stuff. But I can tell you, everything they thought they knew about Afia was wrong. But the shocking thing is, the CIA abducted a woman with her three children. Two of the children, aged 6 and 4, they took to Afghanistan, where they forced the 6-year-old boy into prisons for 5 years. They put the 4-year-old girl, Mariam, in a white Christian American CIA family for 7 years. And they, apparently, the 6-month-old Suleiman. And this is a shocking story, but it's not the sort of story that Annie tells you. The story is really, what was the CIA doing? They're sworn to protect Americans. What were they doing? Falsely abducting this woman and taking two American children to a war zone, and the child was just horrible.
Before we get into more of the Joe Rogan, and I hope Joe Rogan will invite someone like you, who's her attorney, after you go ahead and obviously prove that the guest that he had on is somebody, would you say, is just blatantly lying?
No, she's just a fool. She's got all her facts wrong, and she published them. I'm not saying
that's very irresponsible. That's very irresponsible. Beyond,
of course it is. And the reason, you know, my mom taught me that my job as a privileged white male was to protect people around the world who are being trampled on by people with power. And it's our job is not to go around spreading lies about some poor woman who's been tortured. She's been in FMC Carswell, a federal institution, for the last 18 years. And, you know, I've just been looking into her current treatment. In that prison, I don't know why we have male guards in women's prisons, frankly, but there have been now 14 guards convicted of rape in that prison, including a Christian minister.
Wow.
Omar Suleiman. Do you know who I mean by Imam Omar Suleiman?
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine, yes.
A lovely, lovely guy. One of the few people in the world who I look up to, both metaphorically and really, because as you know, he's a big, tall guy. Really delightful fellow. And he offered to go into Carswell to minister to Afia because they'd never let her have an imam. They wouldn't let him in. We're about to sue them again on that. But instead, they got this other imam. I won't mention his name because he's now been accused of being some of the women, 11 of the women, in that prison. And she's in this awful place after being tortured by the CIA for 5 years in Bagram Air Force Base. And as you can imagine, she lost her children, she lost everything. And I can tell you she's 100% innocent. And she's rotting away there. It's just a scandal on us as Americans.
When this was first brought to my attention years ago, I interviewed Mari Selikhan, who's dedicated also his life to this case. He's doing some great work exposing also a lot of the things that you're talking about, human rights activists. One of the things that when I interviewed him that really stood out were a few things. His interaction with some high prominent politicians and U.S. figures like former U.S. Attorney General Ramsey Clark, who was also on top of this, and he said that she was innocent and had been a victimized by the international politics for power. And I quote, he said, "I haven't witnessed such bare injustice in my entire career." This is a quote from the Daily Times quoted by, this is former U.S. Attorney General Ramsey Clark. You also have someone like him, you would think, why would he put his reputation, why would he put himself in such a negative spotlight to go ahead and to defend someone if they weren't innocent? Same thing like someone like you to invest all this time pro bono. That means you're not getting paid. You also had a former U.S. presidential candidate, Mark Grail. I think he was a 2-time U.S. senator. He was also speaking out in defense of her. Let's have a look at this clip.
I'm here in Pakistan to plead cause
for Dr. Afif Siddiqui, who's in jail in the United States unjustly, and that we need to pressure the Pakistani government to ask for her repatriation to Pakistan. It's a great injustice. You know, there's injustice all over the world, but when we become acquainted with one single person who has suffered tremendous injustice, it morality begs us to stand up and use our voice to ask for justice with respect to doctors Afif Siddiqui.
Are you familiar with this individual and also the Ramsey Clark?
Oh, I am. Ramsey Clark was an incredibly decent and honorable person. And, you know, they took that position some time ago, but I got roped into the case in 2023. And I went to Afghanistan several times because, you know, that's where it all happened. I'd been to Bagram Air Force Base with some of the other prisoners who were there with Afia when she was being tortured, where the CIA was children in front of her, who they said were her children. It wasn't her children. But they were abusing this woman in ways that are just unspeakable. And I've got a whole series of witnesses from there. And then I went to Ghazni a few times, which is where, you know, that woman, Annie Jacobson, says she was being interrogated by FBI agents and she was trying to shoot them. It's total nonsense. That we have a video from that very room that shows she never fired a gun. They shot her. They didn't know she was in the room. She wasn't being interrogated. She was behind a curtain. These American soldiers come in there. They come into the room not knowing that Afia is behind the curtain. They see she's there. They say she's on the loop and shot her in the stomach. And that's all. She didn't shoot anyone. And she was then taken to the really 9/10 of a mile from ground zero, where the Southern District of New York is, 10,000 miles away from where all this happened, and given 86 years in prison. I mean, she's the only person who got shot. And old Annie Jacobson says she was charged with terrorism. I mean, she wasn't. She was never charged with terrorism. She was never proven to have done any of this stuff. She certainly never had any of the documents that she had done about creating weapons of mass destruction. It was just the total fantasies.
Yeah, that stood out also in my interview with Marie. He told me that if there was anything that they had credible, that they would have charged her with terrorism offense, but she was never charged with any, this is very important for the audience, she was never charged with any terrorism offense. Is that correct?
That's exactly correct. And indeed, the lawyers she had, and I don't entirely blame them because they were American lawyers who had never been to Afghanistan to investigate the case. They couldn't do a lot of investigation at the time because there's a war going on. But they didn't know that actually the reason she was in Ghazni is that the Pakistan ISI, their intelligence, had a plot to try to kill her because she was such an embarrassment because they had sold her to the CIA under totally false pretenses. Her children had been abused. She had been tortured. Pervez Musharraf was then the president of Pakistan, and he would have lost his job if it had come out that his military had done this. So they tried to kill Afia. That's what happened in Ghazni. They were so incompetent, they failed to do it. But she is a woman who has suffered more injustice. I've represented 87 prisoners in Guantanamo. I honestly thought the CIA could not horrify me anymore. And I was wrong, because Afia is the greatest victim of injustice I've ever come across.
Joe Rogan has a moral responsibility. He has a big duty on his hand after listening to this. And let's get this message to Joe Rogan to have her, Asia's attorney, on the program to go ahead and set the record straight like we're doing here. Let's go into another clip before we get more of Joe Rogan and the guest that he had on who's spewing this nonsense. Let's look at a journalist from the UK, I believe it is, who was actually at one of her trials.
Of the trial, the only evidence against her, there was no forensic. So the only evidence against her came from the soldiers who were present. And according to not one, but several lawyers I've spoken to, those soldiers in the courtroom contradicted each other, but also contradicted the initial statements that they'd made about who stood where and who was there and when she did this and where she was exactly. So I think it's a tragic thing for American justice that the jury found her guilty. But in the climate of New York post 9/11, somebody whose reputation had been completely trashed deliberately by the people who leaked stories that she was a gun runner or a money launderer for Al-Qaeda, that she was married into a big Al-Qaeda family. All these things were lies, but they were put out into the media. And so not surprisingly, in America, people who didn't know any of the details had an image of her, and it was that false image which allowed her to be convicted. As for getting 86 years, outrageous is the only possible word.
Any comments on that before we go to more of the Joe Rogan?
Yeah, that's Victoria Britton. I know Victoria. She's a very decent woman, and she's right. And the crucial thing that I'm not sure she knew at the time, but we know now, is that the evidence that was offered at trial for Afia trying to shoot the military officers in the room came from these supposed witnesses and included two holes in the wall that they says were the bullet holes where the bullets that she fired narrowly missed killing American soldiers and ended up in those holes. And indeed, one of the American soldiers there says, "I saw the bullet going past me." So she's obviously Superwoman. We've now got a video from that same room earlier that same day that shows the two holes in the wall already. And so that proves that what Afia said is true. She didn't fire the gun. There were no bullets found that she could have fired. There were bullets found that were fired at her, both of the bullets that hit her, but none that she supposedly fired. So the whole case against her was not. But unfortunately, she didn't get the defense she needed to because there weren't any witnesses available to her.
This part is reported. They caught her, and somehow, again, the air quote, somehow she got a hold of a Marine's rifle and was firing at the FBI agents interviewing her. This is all public. And she was shot. They took her to the United States, gave her a trial, decided she was insane, put her in a mental institution. But what had never been revealed before my book is that in her handbag, she had plans to create a genetically modified pathogen that mixed rabies with chicken pox. Think about that. Imagine airborne rabies. Rabies, like pneumonic plague, is one of the only other pathogens that has 100% death rate without countermeasures.
And rabies, like when you see it in animals, I've never actually encountered a rabid animal in the wild.
Clyde, when you hear that, you're like, man, wow, this is, it's good they caught her.
All right, isn't it? Her. Can I just share something with you? I've been bitten by a rabid cat, and I'm still alive. I don't know how I managed to do that somehow, but I did have the shots and everything after it happened. But number one, she uses air quotes. And whenever people use air quotes, they're normally making stuff up. She wasn't being interrogated, as I said, by the FBI. And there were no, I've got a security clearance. I'm not going to tell you what was in her bag because I can't do it because that would be a criminal offense. And whoever these CIA agents are who are blabbing this nonsense to Annie, during a criminal offense for the rich, they can get many years in prison. But I can do this. I can say this. There is nothing in the materials that they say that Afia had has anything to do with airborne rabies or any WMD nonsense like that. And indeed, everything that was supposedly on her was actually planted on her, and we can prove it. And we can prove it because the big thing they had on her, which I can tell you because it came out publicly, is that Afia Siddiqui, you know, this woman who trained primary school kids, was going to teach people how to shoot down satellites. Now, I don't know if you know how to shoot down a satellite, but I was a scientist in my youth, and I can't say as I do either. And what they had in her handwritings, I can now prove, was copied out from a print magazine of Discover magazine that was only published in America, that Afia couldn't have got unless it was given to her by the CIA people who were torturing her. And it's proof positive that what she's said all along is true, that she was forced to write certain things out that they were using to frame her. And so, but there was nothing in there about rabies, so I don't know where Annie gets that. She's just been told a pack of lies. And all of this was designed to falsify a case against this woman because the CIA realized they'd made a terrible mistake in taking her in the first place, and they didn't want to look bad. And I am dying. I'm trying to get her two senators. She lived in Boston, Massachusetts, and I want to get the Democratic senators to hold a hearing in Congress about just what the CIA did to this woman. Because if we publish it, or if I'm allowed to publish everything I know that's still classified, there's going to be heads rolling at the CIA. It really is.
There was another Congresswoman, Cynthia McKinney. She was also speaking out in defense of her, wasn't she? You familiar with her?
Yeah, I lived in Atlanta for years, and she's a good woman.
Mm-hmm. Let's continue on.
Throw their own safety out the window and just go after people and try to bite them.
I mean, rabies is now its own a rabid animal. What do you think of it? It's so visceral.
Right.
It's going to come at you with its infected saliva. I almost went with the rabies scenario because I always, in these scenarios, tie them to actual events that have happened. It's a science fact, not science fiction. And so when I learned about that plan, for the genetic modification of rabies and chicken, airborne rabies. But then I thought,
how far did she get along with this?
That is classified, Annie, you know. But I did get a second person, David Relman, who's the advisor to the president on biodefense, to confirm with me that that was actually located in her handbag and caused serious concern.
Oh, now imagine if they never found her, they never caught her, and she completed that.
I mean, it's really terrifying.
It wipes out most of the country.
And also just in the most horrific way. I mean, you know, like having to like look at your pet and be like, is my pet rabid? It's just.
Your thoughts now? She's connecting to some higher official who's giving her confirmation. What do you say about that?
Yeah, well, one of my colleagues here just got the guy's email because I want to talk to him because I know it's nonsense because I've seen all the evidence. I know he didn't say that because he seems like a decent professor at Stanford, and I can't believe for one second he did it. I will say this, that Annie Jacobson has written all sorts of TV programs, including, you know, the Jack Ryan series. And all of the stuff she's doing would be great television in some nonsensical fictional thing where we terrify America with rabies killing us all. It's just nonsense. And you can't, scientifically, you can't have rabies through the air across America killing everyone. It's just physically impossible. So it's all very good for one of her TV series, as long as it's fiction and not pretense of that.
She's really got Joe Rogan going. He's really into, he's like, wow, man, thank God they caught her. Imagine what would have happened. Let's continue on.
That's not like this is the only time they thought of that. This is the only person that they tried to recruit to do this kind of stuff. There's probably someone out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hence your book.
I mean, I interviewed this guy, very famous, legendary CIA officer named Rolf Moat Larsen, and he led the counter WMD team, biological weapons maker for Al-Qaeda. And like, you know, it's just chilling. It's basically, you get the feeling like that Rolf said, I got them to agree to stop temporarily.
What do you think? I mean, someone who's like yourself, you got people like the former attorney general going back to the presidential candidates, you know, especially Ramsey Clark, who knew the law, who really knew the case. And someone like you now who's invested time flying to Afghanistan, taking the time. But then how do you look at someone like this? This Amy, you're being very polite. You're very, cordial. And I can see you're a very nice person to talk to, even though, you know, she's, when you look at her, she's telling a story and she's very persuasive. How much of this is she consciously, she knows or is she also misled herself? Or but then when you look at the books that she's written before, fiction books, is she just been sold out to, she wants to sell her product? That's it, at all costs. She just doesn't really care.
I mean, you can find people who believe anything.
Yeah.
King Charles in England right now is one of the 5% of people who think they've actually met the space alien. And, you know, I'm not convinced that it's right. I'm not convinced that any of these people have met space aliens. I'm not convinced that Annie's met space aliens. And for me, that's not because they're bad people. King Charles is a nice chap, you know. They're just delusional. They were taking LSD or something at the time. I'm not sure what they were doing. I don't think Annie just thinks she's making stuff up. I think she thinks she's a genuine journalist. But that makes her very dangerous because yeah. what she's hearing is utter, utter nonsense. And, you know, it's my job to defend people who are on the receiving end of this stuff. And I have not a lot of sympathy for Annie. She makes lots of money off all these things. I have an enormous amount of sympathy for Afia Siddiqui, who is currently rotting, being abused in a horrible, horrible prison. And she's been locked up for 23 years without seeing her children. I have a lot of sympathy for her because she's innocent.
Yeah, and like you said, very dangerous. Joe Rogan just had a very dangerous guest on his program, and we really, really want him to do the right thing, you know, do the right
thing. I think people, Joe Rogan gets a bad rap from some people. I don't think he's a bad guy at all.
No, I don't think so either, no.
Yeah, I think he gets people on his program from all walks of life. And we just do need to sort the wheat from the chaff. And, yeah. you know, he can have Annie on all he likes as long as we agree that it's just fiction. But it's when she starts terrifying Americans with things that are just nonsense and that terrifying of people leads to, you know, this prejudice and abuse of some totally defenseless woman. That really kind of bugs me, I'm afraid. And that's where we've got to step in and put a stop to it.
Do you think there could be now some hope here? Because through his program, it's actually getting people talking about it again. So people go down that rabbit hole and they're going to be like, hold on. Like they listen to this and now they look at the facts, you know, and they see like, hold on, this lady's lying. And then this is going to create more momentum. Is that possibly good?
Let me tell you this. I mean, first, I'm very grateful to you for having this show and talking about it in a sensible way. And I do think there are people who are willing to approach this with an open mind. I think it's very, very hard to counteract the prejudice of something like Annie's silly book. Because, you know, what are we going to do? So I am working with Al Jazeera at the moment on a program that will expose everything that's possible. There are seven things I can't say because they're classified, and they're classified by the same people who classify that CIA nonsense. But Al Jazeera, I've helped them interview all the witnesses I've talked to. And what they say to Al Jazeera is not classified because I want the American people to hear the truth. And I want them to do the right thing. And so I think we will get the story out there in the end. It is a fabulous story. If Annie wants to write a thrilling television story, you should tell the truth. And the one reason I write books, right? I like writing books. I only write nonfiction books. Is honestly, I don't need to have the imagination to make stuff up like Annie. The things that people do to each other in our world are so shocking in the first place that we just report the truth, and that's fine.
Yeah, and like you said, I like Joe Rogan, and I think now it compelled me to go ahead. When I saw that clip, I said, I reported on this before. We spoke about this before. No, this is not right. He's been hoodwinked. And then I saw your tweet there. You're actually the attorney, and I said, okay, let's get the facts for somebody who's representing her case pro bono. Let's go ahead and it wasn't just Joe Rogan's program. It seems like she's being featured now on different podcasts. Let's have a look at this one.
The FBI. This is during the height of the war on terror. She was an MIT-trained microbiologist who was linked to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. and this FBI was after her after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. FBI was after her. They heard she was developing bioweapons. They couldn't find her. They finally found her. This part is all reported. They finally found her, you know, acting strange outside a police station in Afghanistan. There was a big sort of kerfuffle. She grabbed a gun. Someone was shot. I mean, it's all millions of conspiracies have been developed around this. She's now in a state facility in Texas for 80 years in a penitentiary, in a mental institution. This is the unreported fact that Lawler told me and was confirmed by a second person, which is shocking to your point about making something airborne. Mm. In her bag, in her handbag, she had plans to create a chimera weapon that mixed rabies.
Okay, she's repeating the same thing that she said on Joe Rogan's program. But do you think that's interesting now? Now she's, I was surprised that, okay, she was on Joe Rogan's and now she's being, did you know about this interview?
Oh yeah, that's Danny James. Okay. And it was actually totally inconsistent with what she said on Rogan in many ways. She, in Rogan, she says he was out, that Althea was outside the governor's house. Here she says that she was outside the police station. Neither of those is true. She was outside the Khalid bin Walid mosques, and that's, she was there because she'd been told by the CIA that she could have her daughter back if she waited there. She waited there for 7 hours, and no one brought her daughter there. No one could talk to her because she didn't speak Farsi until finally this guy who I found in Ghazni, Mohammed Ajmal Mohammadi, came up and talked to her. And he was the one who saved her life because they'd dressed her son up in what looked like a suicide bomber jacket. And it was the middle of summer in Afghanistan, very hot, and he had a winter coat on with 4 pockets. And in those pockets were big bits of fruit to make him look like a suicide bomber. And the plan was that she was to be shot. The only reason she wasn't shot was because this chap, Mohammadi, stood in front of her and said to the 40 police officers, AMP, with their AK-47s, that she wasn't a suicide bomber. So that's what really happened. But there's a funny part to all of this, because now she says she's not talking about Rolf Moet Larsen anymore. She's talking about this chap, James Dawler, a CIA guy who she said this all came from, about the rabies. Well, you know, one of the amusing things about that is Mr. Lawler's nickname is Mad Dog Lawler. And he's called Mad Dog Lawler because once he was bitten by what was a rabid dog, and so that's what they called it. Now, you know, here we are with this whole fantasy about rabies. I don't know whether Mr. Lawler made it up because he'd been bitten by a rabid dog and he's not dead. So he survived, thankfully. I don't know where that comes from, but it's all just a fabulous fictional story that they made up. But the truth is pretty fabulous as well.
Now, this... I mean, it doesn't stop there. It's really spreading. I mean, this is another major channel that's on X. Are you familiar with this Mario Nafel?
I know. This is a new one on me. I'll talk to Mario.
You know Mario?
No, I don't. I never heard of him.
Okay, so he's one of the bigger platforms there on Elon Musk X. And you can see here, he's also reporting on this. So this is gaining traction now. More people are discussing this, and they're running with the misinformation and the lies that we're getting.
You know, and another thing that's mentioned here is on the most wanted list, and that the FBI was searching for Afia for 5 years from 2003 to 2008. There's a reason they couldn't find her. And the reason is that she was in CIA custody the whole time, being tortured by the CIA. Now, I can prove that because I got a whole series of witnesses. I somehow doubt you're going to get the CIA to come on your program and admit it. But in, you know, all of this stuff, again, it would just be funny if it wasn't true that they're all going around saying that Afia is the evil person, whereas in fact, the things they did to her were just inhuman.
As we're talking, in my last program that I did on this years ago, there was an individual, someone who's a college student, and he made a comic book. How accurate is that? Have you seen that comic book that sketches out step by step what happened? How accurate is that? Maybe we can go ahead and show it.
Yeah, show it. It is pretty accurate. I know more now than they knew then, but it is pretty accurate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So before we conclude, what else can you tell us? What would you tell Joe Rogan? What would you tell people like Mario, Amy? I mean, people who really want to know, sincere people who want to know the facts.
Well, the first thing I'd say is when you have great power, it's really important that you use it carefully. And I say that to Joe just as I would say it to the CIA, who had immense power. And I'm afraid in this case, people haven't used it carefully, and they are just flat wrong. And I would be very, very happy to share all the true facts with anyone who wants to know it. And there is still, I'm trying to get declassified some of the material that I know that further prove just what nonsense on the CIA thought they knew. I can tell you this. I've taken a statement from one of the secret agents who was familiar with this back in 2002. And I can't tell you the details now because it's classified, but I can tell you this. The agent lists everything they thought they knew about Afia Siddiqui, and every single thing they stated as fact was wrong. So this was just an example of intelligence being deeply, deeply flawed. And what I advise to all these people is before you go defaming a totally defenseless, truly traumatized woman who's lost her whole life, her children, and everything, please, please be responsible. Just call me up. I'll share with you the truth to the extent I can do it, which is pretty long, 370 pages. And then you can make up your own mind.
What I thought was interesting here in this comic series, one part where it talks about why was she captured, and he says that in the 4 years between 2001 2005, it is estimated that Pervez Musharraf, the previous president, I believe it was, of Pakistan, that he handed over 400 to 800 prisoners to the U.S. who were mainly innocent, but the capture made was to justify the war on terror. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, for each person that they handed over, money was exchanged. For, I don't know, was it like $50,000 or something? So it's like it gives you the motive kind of there. It's business.
Well, and we're not making that up because General Musharraf wrote a book called In the Line of Fire. And if you look at page 234, his rather terrible book, it boasts right there that, you know, more than half of the prisoners in Guantanamo Bay were sold for bounties to the CIA. Now, I've been to Guantanamo Bay 42 times. I like to say it is my Caribbean resort of choice. I've represented 87 prisoners there. Every single one, so far, we've proven innocent. Not to my satisfaction. Not to my satisfaction, but in order to get someone out of there, you have to get all six of the top U.S. intelligence agencies to say this guy's no threat to anyone. And in every case, that's been the case. So they've been wrong 100% of the time with my clients. Now, I would never have believed that back in 2002 when I brought first case against Guantanamo. I never, ever would have believed that the CIA could get it that wrong. But the reason they did get it wrong was they were paying bounties, and $55,000 in Pakistan is the equivalent of $1 million in America. So look to the person on your right and ask yourself, for $1 million, would I lie about that person and make up a story saying they were a terrorist? And if the answer for 1 second is yes, then you know why everyone ended up in Guantanamo Bay. There's one thing further for Afia. She was sold, but also the other thing they did was they had a little picture book and they tortured people to tell a story about people in the picture book. The people they were torturing looked at the pictures, and they were mostly men, and there was one woman. And a lot of these guys were conservative Muslim people from around the world. And you'll forgive me for saying a terrible generalization. They're a teeny bit chauvinist sometimes. And the men identified Afia because they thought no one would believe them. They thought no one would be stupid enough to believe that a leader of Al-Qaeda was a woman, because there weren't anyway. answers. People did that. And actually, there's this woman who calls herself the Queen of Torture, who took Afia's picture to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the guy who Annie Jacobson mentioned. She was the guy behind 9/11. And he was being waterboarded at the time. And he initially said, no, I have no idea who this woman is. They waterboarded her a bit more. And he said, oh, yeah, she's a leader at Al-Qaeda. And if you look at, this is all in the Senate report on torture. If you look at footnote 1898 of the Senate report, it lists nine people who were tortured in that incident with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed by the Queen of Torture, who is a CIA agent. And all nine of those people they thought were terrorists. I've represented three of them. We've exonerated seven of them. The eighth one was murdered by the ISI, the Pakistan Intelligence, when they were abusing him. And the ninth person left in prison is Afia Siddiqui. What is the probability that Afia is the only guilty person out of the nine people identified on waterboarding? You know, it's just, I've spent a lot of time working on this case. I can tell you everything about it. And it's just so sad to see these people with power abusing their power in such a terrible way.
You think this was deliberately set up now at a time where it might have been getting some more traction, and now conveniently you have someone like this Amy the Liar comes out with this story at just this time to kind of smear and to put out false information now as you're gaining some momentum with this case?
Well, I do think the CIA does that sort of thing. I mean, they're never going to admit that they tortured an innocent woman, that they pretended to torture her children in front of her, that they actually did abuse two young American children in the way they did and probably murdered the third. They're never going to admit that, right? Now, and I'm not asking them to. I'm not even asking them to say the simple words, I'm sorry. I'm just asking them to let this poor woman go to a hospital where she can be properly treated outside the U.S., where we can try to get her sanity back and where we can let her see her children. But I knew they were going to do this. And that's why long before I went public with it, I got statements from former Secret Service agents in America. I've got statements from ISI intelligence agents from Pakistan. I've secretly recorded the people who actually kidnapped her in the first place. So I've got the goods on them, and they can do what they want. I don't care because we got the goods on them. And the more they make me fight, the worse it's going to be for them. And, you know, I say that in a vaguely threatening way because I mean it, because I'm here to protect Afia, who has no other protection. And these people should just put their hands up, say sorry, and we'll move on.
Where do you see this going?
Well, and we're going to win in the end. We always win because justice is on our side. I have no question that we're going to get this woman justice. It's a matter of how much time it takes. I'm a pathetic person who keeps my timesheets right. So I can tell you, I got 4,000 hours of work, pro bono work in this case. And I'm going to carry on doing it until I get her out. I don't care how long it takes. Because if I don't do that, my dear mother, who is the dearly departed in heaven, she'd strike me dead. So I don't have a choice. So we're going to get her out. There's no question. And the more they make me work, the more we're going to expose what they did. And I keep telling these people that. And either they listen or they don't. But I kind of enjoy it, so I don't care what they do.
Let's go ahead and close up. Any closing comments for the average person who sees the injustice that's happening, who has a heart, their conscience is on, anything they can do, anything the average person can do. They don't want to be affiliated with anything of a terrorist nature or anything, but they've gone past the fog and they see like, hold on, this is a grave injustice that's happening, and they want to speak up. What could the average person do to help you, to help this this case?
Well, the first thing you have to remember that in every great religion, be it Islam, Christianity, Judaism, or whatever, to save one life is to save all of humanity. And that's the truth. And you can't stand aside when injustice is going on, because injustice to anyone is injustice to everyone. So we have to solve this. We can't just say, oh, it's not my problem. So there are many things you can do. The most simple is you can write letters to Afia. She is deeply traumatized, but I gather up her letters, and there's an email address called lettersforafia@gmail.com. That's L-E-T-T-E-R-S, and then the number 4, and then Afia, AAFIA@gmail.com. Those will come to me. I will assemble those and get them into Afia, and it gives her great moral strength, even though she's suffering so much. But then beyond that, there are people of all sorts. If you just happen to be a microbiologist, you can offer your support to debunk the nonsense about this airborne rabies stuff. Where there are other things like whether you can shoot down satellites. I mean, if you're an engineer, you can help me on that. I'm a scientist, I could do it, but I'm a lawyer, so I can't. So then you can do other things. We need to get her moral support in prison. So we need people to support us in getting Imam Omar Suleiman in to see her so she can get that moral support till we get her out of there. We need doctors to support us in terms of getting her treatment. They won't let me get an independent doctor into that prison, which is just disgusting. Why won't they do that? Hard to believe. And then you can do other things. You can read noises. And look, I do all this for nothing, but I run a charity and you're welcome to donate to my non-profit. But I'm not making people do that. I'm going to do this regardless. And you can just do whatever you can for your neighbors as well. You don't have to only focus on Afia. Just want to focus on other people who need your help. And always remember this. Those of you listening into the program, you're privileged. You're mainly in America. We're all privileged. And there are always people who are less fortunate than us. And that means that our duty, according to my mother and according to your holy books, is to help the people who need your help. So just get out there and do it.
God bless you. Thank you very much, Carl. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.